and welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to those who are here and those who are watching on live stream and also those who are watching on catch up. As you're aware, at this time of the month, we actually have a rotation of ministers between the parishes that are going to make up the Benahi parish together. Have I got that right? Benahi churches together, yes, parish. And it's my pleasure to introduce Sheila Mitchell, who's from Echt and Midmar. So I'll hand it over to Sheila.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here, and it's a privilege to be joining you in worship this morning. We've got one or two folk coming in at the back there, so we'll pause for two ticks, I think. That's okay, morning. There's just a couple of intimations to draw to your attention this morning. The first is that on Tuesday evening, here at 7:30, the pop-up choir will be meeting. We're always looking for new members. Ability to sing is not necessarily a prerequisite for joining this choir, just an enjoyment of music and a willingness to lend us a couple of hours once in a while to enjoy some singing. So if you'd like to come along, we usually sing for a wee while, have a cup of tea in the middle, and then sing again. And hopefully we will be singing something at the joint service, which is coming up in Monee Musk on the fifth Sunday of this month, which will be the 30th. So that's here on Tuesday evening at 7:30. As you know, the congregations now are beginning to vote on the union between all our different congregations, or our proposed union. You probably know as well that all of our Kirk sessions now, every single one, have voted in favour of the union. So what happens next is that the congregations are asked whether or not they wish to consent to the union. This morning, the congregation of Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary will be voting, and Neil Mayer is there with them this morning. Echt and Midmar, Kintore, Clooney and Monee Musk will vote next Sunday, that's the 23rd, and on the 7th of next month, you will have the opportunity to vote here. Now, in preparation for that, it's a prerequisite in the Church of Scotland to read an intimation on the two Sundays prior to a vote taking place. But we're going to do that for Kemnay twice, if not three times, because of course we're not here, excuse me, on the 30th. We'll be at Monee Musk on the 30th. So this week and next week, you will hear this intimation on behalf of our presbytery. The Presbytery of the North East and the Northern Isles, that's our new name for Gordon Presbytery. Notice of a congregational meeting at Kemnay Parish Church. Basis of union between Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary Parish Church, Clooney Parish Church, Echt and Midmar Church of Scotland, Kemnay Parish Church, Kintore Parish Church, and Monee Musk Parish Church. Notice is hereby given that a meeting of this congregation of Kemnay Parish Church will be held after morning worship on Sunday, the 7th day of May 2023, to approve a basis of union with Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary Parish Church, Clooney Parish Church, Echt and Midmar Church of Scotland, Kintore Parish Church, and Monee Musk Parish Church. And it's signed by order of the Presbytery Clerk, the Reverend Sheila Kirk. This notice was read to the congregation on the 16th of April 2023. And I'm required to sign it in your presence, which I will do. and I will pop it on the table. There we go. So that's our official business for this morning. We come, of course, together to worship God on this first Sunday after Easter. And because of Easter, expectations are shattered. Because of Easter, the inevitable no longer seems sure. Because of Easter, death is shown for what it is, the possibility for love to come again. This is resurrection. We join together now as we sing to God's praise the first of our hymns this morning, the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Together, let us pray. We sit in the presence of our resurrection God, God who brings new life and assures us of his transformative power. We sit in the presence of our all-knowing God, whose interest in each and every part of his creation is unwavering. We sit in the presence of our God of grace and compassion, who offers second chances and who recognizes our beauty and our worth. In this Easter season, we surround ourselves with the gift of new life, celebrating the privilege of being loved and continually shaped and guided by God. God of the vastness of the universe, God of every intricate aspect of our lives. Holy God, inevitably, in all of our lives, there have been moments when we've not lived in faith, when we've not lived in hope, and when we've not lived in love. There have been moments when we failed to recognize our risen Lord or have been deaf to his voice, indifferent to his presence. whether through choice, through ignorance, or through circumstance. There are things that play on our minds, past hurts that still have a hold over the present, our vulnerabilities, the things that affect our relationships, words left unsaid, loose ends left undone. So we come ready to admit that we don't always use our God-given potential, and that sometimes we waste the opportunities offered to us. And even fail to recognize the God who travels with us at times on our path through life. Today, though, like the disciples, we dare to believe in life beyond death, in hope beyond uncertainty. We embrace God's forgiveness, mercy, and understanding, and we pray, Lord, live in us, and we shall surely live. We're loved and cared for by one another here in this community and by God. May people come to see and recognize God's love reflected in us. And may our lives and relationships forever reflect our resurrection faith. And we dedicate all that we have and all that we are in the name of our risen Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a word to our younger people. Good morning. How are you? Are you fine? Good. A thumbs up. Well, that's hopeful. How's everybody else? Fine. So. Oh, thumbs up from the band. Well, last Sunday was a really, really special day in church. Does anybody remember what last Sunday was? And I expect every hand to go up, by the way. Who remembers what happened last Sunday? What was last Sunday? Is that what you were going to say too? It was Easter Sunday. So the next question is, did anybody get an Easter egg last week? This is where you have to own up. Two hands. Easter eggs. How big? Here's the third important question. How big was your Easter egg? Who likes the tiny Easter eggs? In the yellow packets. I'm sure we shouldn't advertise, but you know the ones that we mean. Did you have an Easter egg that size? One? Were they bigger? How did you get an Easter egg in a box? Yes. Does anybody remember when those Easter eggs used to be bigger than they are nowadays? Yeah. How big was your Easter egg in a box? Wow. There's a budding fisherman at the front, I think. Did you get an Easter egg as well? Was yours a big, big one, this size too? Okay, well, I'm going to show you a picture of, well, hopefully we're going to see a picture of an Easter egg that is even bigger. Can you see that on the screen? Now, the picture there is courtesy of the Guinness World Record Foundation. And what you're looking at is the biggest decorated Easter egg in the whole world. And I bet you can't guess, even from the picture, how big that is. In fact, I had to write it down here. Well, that Easter egg, is taller than three giraffes standing on top of each other. Now, I bet that's bigger than anybody's Easter egg. So the world record for the world's largest decorated Easter egg was set this year in February, the 18th of February, at a festival in Brazil, where they had previously set the world record for having the world's largest decorated Easter egg. And it's decorated there in traditional flowers that are used in clothing and on pottery from that part of Brazil. Now, for those of you who are interested, that egg is 54 feet 10 inches tall. I'm not going to convert it to meters because you don't look like meters kind of people. And 35 feet in diameter. That egg is enormous, and there they are measuring it up in their crane right at the very top. What do you think of that? It's huge, isn't it? Absolutely colossal. Is it chocolate? Is it chocolate? Ever hopeful. Ever hopeful. I'm sure there must be a record for the biggest chocolate egg out there as well. But what a feat of engineering, and what a vision actually to make that happen. Do you know why we have Easter eggs? Why do we have Easter eggs? Can you remember?
To eat them.
That is the best answer. That is the best answer. The second best answer. What's the second best answer? Why else do we have them? It absolutely is. We roll our Easter eggs to remind us of that part of the Easter story where the stone, the boulder, was rolled away from the entrance to Jesus' tomb. Now, do you know, we're followers of Jesus, and there was a follower of Jesus called Paul. We sometimes call him Paul the Apostle. And at one point, Paul was talking to his followers and his friends, and he was telling them about the height and breadth and length and depth of God's love for us. And he was telling them that God's love is so enormous that we almost can't imagine it. In other words, God's love for us is even bigger than the Easter egg that they made back in February in Brazil. An Easter egg that is three times as high as a giraffe, and God's love is even bigger than that. And I think that is something to celebrate at Easter time, and something that's well worth remembering. Well, we're going to sing this time. I think it's Live, Live, Live.
Thank you. Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, reading from verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said and did not see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May God bless this reading of his word.
We join together now as we sing the words of the Easter hymn, "The Saviour Died but Rose Again."
Thank you.
an American violinist and conductor by the name of Joshua Bell. And he's one of the most celebrated musicians of his era, and already he has a highly distinguished career which stretches something like three decades. Well, it's some time ago now, but way back in 2007, he teamed up with a columnist from the Washington Post for what was to become known as the Great Subway Station Violin Experiment. And the psychology behind what happened is still being discussed all these years later. A hidden camera was placed in the entrance to the subway, and the particular subway was chosen because of the good acoustics and the fact that the sound would carry. And the camera filmed Bell posing as a busker. Now, Bell owns what is regarded as one of the best and finest violins that the world has ever seen. He owns a particular Stradivarius made in 1713 called the Gibson X Huberman. Now, on that particular morning, Bell didn't need to travel very far from where he was staying to the subway station, but he arrived in a taxi. And the reason for that was to save this violin getting cold or damp from the outside air. And just before 8 o'clock in the morning, in time for the morning commute being in full swing, Bell started to play his violin. He played Schubert, Massenet, Pons. Bell played for 43 minutes non-stop. He opened with a particular 14-minute piece by Bach, which is generally considered to be one of the best solo pieces ever written for the violin and one of the greatest musical compositions ever created. Now, I'm sure you can see where this is heading. 63 people walked past in the first 3 minutes. Then a middle-aged man slowed down for a second and he turned to notice that Bell was playing. And then he kept on walking. 30 seconds after that, a woman who was passing tossed a coin into the collection. Nothing happened for another 6 minutes. 6 minutes later, someone leant back against the wall and really began listening to the music. In the three quarters of an hour that Bell played, seven people stopped to listen to one of the world's finest violinists playing for free on a $4 million Stradivarius. 27 people gave money, totaling $32 and some loose change. And 20 of those $32 came from the one person that morning who recognized Bell. Now, Bell had been playing the night before at the Library of Congress, which is the National Library for the United States of America, and that man had happened to be in the audience. In total, once they looked at the footage and counted the number of people that walked past, 1,070 commuters walked past Joshua Bell. Some of them were only a few feet away, and very few of them actually turned even to look. So my question is, what does it take for you, or for me for that matter, to stop and listen, so to speak, in life? What drives you to carry on walking? What makes you pause in life just long enough for you to turn your head? I absolutely believe that resurrection finds us. We don't always need to go looking for the resurrection. God loved us before we loved God, and God reaches out to us first in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And crucially, the approach is generous and unconditional. Resurrection finds us, and that's a powerful message to hold on to. But the question is, what if we don't see it? What if we miss it? What if we worry about not understanding it? And certainly at the beginning of the famous story of the disciples and the road to Emmaus, that seems to be what happened. The two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, traveling the road to Emmaus, didn't see what was in front of them, didn't recognize their traveler, couldn't hear beneath the words at that moment in time. Now, we're human, and it can be hard to believe that when something amazing is going on, that there's something amazing going on, I should say, when there's no crowd, no fanfare, nothing telling us to pay attention, when the signs aren't obvious and the conversation is normal. It can be hard to believe that something amazing is going on when the people we travel with don't look any different from us. They don't look unusual. Or when the background music to life is, well, just that, background music. The disciples on the road to Emmaus weren't expecting to encounter Jesus, which might account, at least in part, for why they didn't recognize him. It's a well-known psychological fact that very often we don't see what we don't expect to see, and that's precisely what the subway experiment proved. So how do we then lift our eyes from whatever we're doing, from whatever it is that has our attention, or wherever it is we choose to put our energy, to notice, to care about what's going on right next to us? Because something amazing is going on. The passage in Luke states that the travelers' faces were downcast. Never once did they expect to encounter the risen Christ. Now ask the question of yourselves, where do you expect to find God? What do you expect to see of God? And how do you and I discern the risen Christ? Because God does journey with us. The resurrected God journeys within each and every one of us, but perhaps we have to be looking and indeed listening to recognize the fact. As on the road to Emmaus, God walks with us and reveals himself to us, but he's equally there in the stranger that we walk past or we fail to notice. So when the words are spoken, when the music is played, when the bread is broken, will our eyes be open? The resurrection does come to us, but how much richer our living and believing will be if our eyes and ears are really open and attuned to the words, to the music, and to the gesture. Amen. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing together now the song, Lord, I Come to You.
And so we are here to give thanks. Thanks for the light of resurrection that shines bravely and brilliantly in the face of the world's darkness. We give thanks for a God who breaks into the normal order of things, a God who even yet comes to challenge our expectations, to defy what we think is possible, and who dares us to believe the incredible. And so we give thanks today for the gift of inquiring minds and inquisitive faith. Thanks for our place among the community of believers on earth and in heaven. Thanks for our part in the worldwide church, who with people across the world are joining heart and soul and voice in praise of our Creator and Redeemer. This Easter season, we make our prayers for others, because there are many people who are seeking in some shape or form the new life offered by Jesus Christ. We pray for the many people in the world who are struggling to see signs of resurrection in their own lives. People who are unable to spot the smallest seeds of hope or the shoots of possibility. We pray for the places in the world where at this very moment the sound of joy is proving hard to hear, or seems meaningless or empty. We pray for wherever and in whatever way people need a new vision, a new and peaceful way of understanding themselves and of understanding the world. Today we continue to celebrate Christ raised, and we give thanks that we are witnesses to his love, witnesses to moments of resurrection in our own lives, resurrection in our thinking, resurrection in our believing, and resurrection through our experience of life. And now we bring before God both our thanks and our prayers for others, for people near and far, known and unknown. We bring prayers great and small, but each and every prayer heard and received by God. Holy God, may our resurrection faith forever shape our living and our believing. And may Christ's risen presence be with all those whom we've brought to mind before you. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our worship concludes this morning with the Easter hymn, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. Go forth with renewed hope, trusting in the transforming love of God. With God, all things are made new. Amen. go forth with renewed hope, trusting in the God who joins us all on our journey. With God, all things are made new. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And may the risen Christ bless you and keep you this day and forevermore.